Welcome in, everybody, to Betting Pros. It's time to place your bets. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zappia, and the Major League Baseball season is upon us. And what does that mean? It's time to look to the future, baby. We're going to talk to Craig Mish, MLB insider, the man at Sports Grid TV, and the man that follows the Marlins every single step they take. And, of course, the Welsh is going to join me as well. Leading off live, by the way, begins on Fantasy Bros MLB Thursday opening day, and then every Monday through Friday, 12:30 Eastern, live there on the channel. If you haven't already, subscribe to Fantasy Bros MLB, because we're going to be the best in MLB betting, MLB fantasy, MLB everything, Welsh. It's going to be a hot time, and of course, opening day, we're wigging out because we have over 18,000 subs now on the channel because of you. We will be wearing amazing wigs on opening day. Craig Mish, you never need a wig. The hair always looks good. Mish, I also know you're a big fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I am.
So I don't know how caught up you are right now.
I am.
But the other day, I was at my daughter's play, and someone hung their jacket over the back of a chair in front of me, and that's all I could think about the rest of the show. Are you ready for that to happen now for the rest of your life?
I am very caught up. You know, I watched the first two live, and then I've been maxing the rest. I've been going to the app and watching, I think, either halfway when it's over or like the next day. But yes, I totally feel you. I think my jacket is on my other chair, by the way. Should I there go get it, put it on my head or something?
I feel like
you
could. I feel like I'm missing out, by the way. Like, I've had people
I'll
tell
explain
me
quickly.
No, but I've had people tell me, like, I am Larry David. Like,
oh,
my personality is, and the
qualities.
Only bit I can recall recently, and it had me on the floor, was the thank you for your service bit. And it had me just dying and crying.
Also,
and I feel like I need to digest a lot of Curb.
I would say for the show in particular, look, they've had a lot of seasons. It's really funny when you go on the app on Max, it shows you like all the years. The first season was 2000. It was like 24 years ago. They all look like completely different. And we were like, me and my wife were like scrolling through all of the past seasons and all, and like some were like, this season in particular has been an elite season.
It has been
very funny. A lot of really good, funny, laugh out loud jokes. It's been very solid.
It's been one of the best ones, and I'm very sad that they're ending it, because I feel like they're leaving on a high note. That's classic Larry David at the end of the day, so maybe not so weird after all. But Welsh, I'll explain to you a little jacket over the chair thing after the show. We're here to talk about baseball, and of course, if you haven't subscribed to Betting Pros, I don't know what you're waiting for. Do it right now. Download the Betting Pros app too, because again, the prop bet cheat sheet every single day for MLB is available. The prop bet analyzer every single day is available. We'll be using those tools on the MLB show, breaking down bets for you every single day. But today we're looking at the future. So we're going to go through some win totals, our favorite over-unders, get Craig's opinion on those. Maybe he has one for us as well. We're also going to talk about our favorite season-long props and, of course, the awards, which is why you come here, because Joey Futures never let you down on the awards. We have been rolling, Welsh, the last couple of years.
You.
Getting all these, maybe me. Maybe a little bit more me. But
Corbin
still,
Carroll was my only, Corbin Carroll was Corbin my Carroll. Monster bet last year. Paid, but I didn't cash futures. Haven't been the best futures guy, but I'm turning that around this year.
That's right. Corbin Carroll, Gunnar Henderson combo special on FanDuel last year was very pretty. Yeah. We love that one. So let's start here with our favorite overs and unders. Craig, my favorite over this year going into 2024 is the San Diego Padres. I look at this pitching staff. I know the fifth starter Brito looked pretty good this spring, but really you bring in Cease, Darvish's elbow is all cleaned up. Joe Musgrove, when he is right, he is elite. And then of course the acquisition of Michael King is nothing to sneeze at as well. This is a really good rotation. They still got plenty of offense there with Machado, with Tatis, with Xander Bogaerts. 85.5 is the number. I'm going over on that. I know the West is very competitive. Do you think the Padres with that rotation can be competitive and go over or under this 85.5?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot to unpack with all of the totals. You know, the first thing that I think that we all fall victim to is, and it's not that the Padres don't have a good rotation. It's just the notion of thinking like we'll even be talking about these pitchers in August and September. It's just I can't believe what's going on in baseball with the amount of injuries every year that we have to endure and see so many different players there. As far as the talent is concerned, I mean, the key name that you mentioned with the Padres, Joe, for this to go over, in my opinion, has got to be Xander Bogaerts. You cannot give a player $300 million and now all of a sudden you move him to second base and then not get the production that you thought. Another player I think that is, you know, maybe better than all of the other players you just mentioned on the Padres is actually Ha-Seong Kim. I think Ha-Seong Kim is a phenomenal player. Mm-hmm. That is ready for a big breakout, as if he didn't have it already. I think that he could break out too. So I don't know that it would be my favorite one on the board, only because, again, the Dodgers are formidable. The Diamondbacks are formidable. I think the Giants will not be. I think that that was just, you know, throwing money around, which is great, and it makes the fans happy and maybe put some fans in the stands. I know that they've struggled with that the last couple of years. Rockies aren't going to be good. But I do see the Padres as a third-place team, so I think that total is fair. It's not that I love it or hate it. I just think it's going to be right around that number that they gave out.
Welsh, do you have a favorite over heading into the season of any of the win totals of teams?
Yeah, I've actually got, so I got two. I'm going to do one little cheechy.
You're such an overachiever.
I know, I am an overachiever. Always. But yeah. This is going to be a little homerism. But the minute the Diamondbacks signed Jordan Montgomery, I was like, let me go look at that win total again. And it was still sitting, you can sometimes get it at 82.5, at 83.5. I bet the Diamondbacks win total at 83.5 over. It's now moved up a full win. And now you could be like, ooh, Jordan Montgomery. But listen, Jordan Montgomery, that's a war player. They needed depth in that rotation. That was the biggest hole this team was facing, even though they just lost Paul Sewald. Their bullpen is better than it was and in a much better place than it was last year. Their offense is in a great spot. They're spending, and guess what? They still have assets to make moves in the season. So they got 84 wins last year. I love that one. We'll get Craig's take on it. But my favorite one into this, it's a not 90 win team. 88.5 over for the Phillies. And I think the Phillies are going to be an absolute scare in the NL. Zach Wheeler, I'm not the biggest Aaron Nola guy, but Zach Wheeler, I think, is going to be at the forefront of the Cy Young Award. And that offense, behind a completely healthy Bryce Harper, behind Alec Bohm, who's taken a step, Bryson Stott, Castellan. I mean, you can go down the list. It's a power offense. It's really like what the Mariners want to be. You have a great rotation with this really big power offense. The Mariners are just missing it. So 88.5 after this team won 90 last year. The Phillies are my pick, but the Diamondbacks are my overachieve. Craig, what do you think about both those?
Yeah, I mean, in all the teams that we discussed, I think Arizona is the one probably with the most potential there. Because again, in analyzing all three of those overs, the Phillies are a little bit inflated at the number that they're already at, and nobody would be upset with the Phillies winning 87 games. The San Diego Padres at 84, 85 to me feels right around the number, and I think that you would have to ask significant questions in July and August as to whether or not they're fully committed to winning. I don't know that they would push their foot on the pedal. I think that they may just say, okay, let's see how we do. Arizona's all in. So at this point for the Diamondbacks, you know that when things are close, expiring contracts from other players and taking on money, that's a team that's going to do it. So that's when I look at these win totals, that is really the bottom line for me, is I don't care what's going on right now. I want to know that my team that I'm taking an over in is going to buy players at the trade deadline. And if I can't guarantee that, then I'm not betting the over, because that, I mean, the most, I would think, thing that is not talked about enough within Major League Baseball clubhouses, what happens that doesn't get talked about like on the outside here, is what a player does when he comes over to a new team and how that team feels when they're there. It can be like an insignificant player, but it shows the rest of the clubhouse, hey, this team is committed. We are going for it. And it gives that little boost to the team. And take a look at that. All the teams sort of play better at that point. Now, the Angels did not last year. They got all those players for Ohtani and then they got rid of them all. But to me, it's why I think of the ones we just talked about, the Diamondbacks would be the one, because they get to that trade deadline, whatever pieces they're missing, I think they take.
I like how you said that too, that knowing your team is going to be willing to spend when push comes to shove, that's a really great way to look at it. And identifying the teams that are willing to just go all in throughout the rest of this season is something to pay attention to, because it's getting a little bit tougher for us to have teams that are out of it sooner just because of the extra wild card spot. Teams are kind of hanging around further, but who are going to be the most aggressive teams? And a team like the Diamondbacks have proven to be hyper aggressive this offseason.
Yeah, and the Angels, certainly a team that I'm sure we could talk a little bit more about in just a second, because that's one I was going to at first, but I found another under that I like even more. And I worked enough with my good friend Craig Mish over the last decade plus to know that you fade the public. And I'm looking at the Yankees right now, looking at the Gerrit Cole situation. I'm looking at this number of 91.5 games, and I'm an under. DJ LeMahieu has not hit. He's supposed to hit at the top of this order. Soto is going to be a one and done probably as a Yankee. Most feel like it. The toe of Aaron Judge is in question. I'm looking at this lineup in the second half of it. Yeah, Gleyber Torres had a great year last year. Volpe, I expect to be good. But there's definitely some holes here, not to mention the inconsistencies potentially in this rotation. 91.5 is a big number right now in a division that is going to be very competitive. Mish, I'm going under on the Yankees. I think this is the classic, you know, over number of, you know, that you get this number so high because it's the Yankees, because it's Gerrit Cole, because it's Aaron Judge and all the star power. But we're not looking hard enough at all the deficits of the Yankees. You mentioned a team that's got the willingness to spend and go out there and add players. I don't know if the Yankees are in that position to do that necessarily, because they like to maintain some of these young players that they have. They already went and moved Michael King to bring in Juan Soto. So you can argue they already fired their shot. What do you think of this 91.5 when it comes to the Yankees, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, every year with the Yankees, when you bet the over, you're betting on the pinstripes. It's a problem. And again, you know, it's the most popular bet in sports books. They're always the most overinflated odds for every team. There's a few teams out there that are like this. It's the New York Yankees. It's Notre Dame. It's Alabama. It was the New England Patriots for a long time. And you just simply look at the jersey and the hat and think, oh, it's the Yankees. It is not the case this year. And I got to tell you, this team, the same talent, put the Tigers uniforms on them, put the Royals uniforms on them. And there's no possible way this total could be at 91. I mean, guys, they just, listen, I'm not saying they should have signed Snell or Montgomery, okay? I'm fine with them not signing either, because I think I know what their team's going to be. So I don't blame them, but they didn't do it. So what makes you think all of a sudden they're going to just reverse course midway through the season with Brian Cashman, who's been there for, I don't know how long, 30 years, 25 years?
Just about, almost as long as you and I have been together, which is a long time.
It's a good team. It's not a great team. If they're not in it, are they trading Soto? Maybe. Like, losing Cole is just a monster loss to start the season, and relying on Cortez and Rodon, and they both may be great, and maybe, and this is baseball, and it's sports, and it's humans. It's hard to predict this stuff, but not a lot of innings from these guys over the last couple of years. The Yankees are not going to lose 100 games, okay, or 95. Let's not get it twisted. There's so much talent on that team that they'll be okay. But I am in agreement with you, Joe. I don't think this is a postseason team. I think Baltimore is. Mm-hmm. I think Tampa Bay will be. They go, what have they gone over? 7 in a row? Tampa
every
Bay?
Year. And they're, and again on the board.
They're going to do it again. They're going to do it again.
They're also going to get that glut of pitchers that are coming off injury. Like McClanahan might come back at the back end of the year. Maybe Jeffrey Springs looks like he's lined
probably.
Up.
Too. And they'll get Caminero at some point too. So they're basically adding pieces without taking pieces away.
The key why I have Toronto ahead of the Yankees is what I would bet on is pressure. Like you see it in San Francisco. I don't know if it's going to work, but there's a lot of pressure for the Giants to win. I mean, jobs are on the line. Guys, jobs are on the line in Toronto too. And so there's pressure right there. And I feel like that team is going to say, hey, this window is it's like close. Like we got to go in. So I think Toronto's better than the Yankees also. I think the Yankees finished 4th.
Can I ask you one quick thing, Craig? Because I'm curious about this. I don't disagree. Like Luis Eel and Clark Schmidt, like that looks like a back into the Royals rotation and not a Yankees rotation. If the Yankees were to go, just hypothetically, make a move in the next 2 weeks. They were in on they're trying to get Jordan Montgomery to sign, didn't happen. They keep trying to poke around. If they were to make a move and show aggression, would you feel any different? Or is it just the same story repeating itself with the Yankees team?
Maybe, but like I look at the Yankees offense, and while I think it is good, I still think it is very much of the summer of all or nothing. They go through these periods of time where, guys, you know the story. It's June 10th. I can see it in my mind. The Yankees have been shut out 5 games in a row. Aaron Boone's going to get fired, and this guy's got to go. It happens every year. This is the way that they're built. They didn't change the construction of the team. They don't have Trey Turner. You know, like they don't have that guy there. They got some big guys that hit home runs. Soto's going to get on base. Judge is going to hit a home run and drive him home. What about the game that he doesn't? What's going to happen that game? Are they going to get shut out? Like this is sort of how they're built. I think they need a reconfiguration and a reconstruction as to how they're doing things. Now, pitching, that's really hard to do. I think they've tried. Like, they've tried with the pitching. They tried with Rodon. Their bullpen is fine. They got some hard throwers there. I think they'll be in good shape there. I like the back end of their bullpen, too. But I just think as it compares to teams of Yankee lore that are winning World Series and getting on base, and we saw it last year with Acuña and Carroll. I mean, guys are stealing 80 bases again. Mm-hmm. the Yankees just didn't change anything. They're just rolling it back again.
Volpe will be at the top of that lineup before Memorial Day. I'm calling it right now. If they have any chance, they've got to try to make some kind of change there. Welsh, when you look at the unders, which one pops to you?
Well, I guess this is going to seem kind of lame because I looked immediately at the two worst teams in MLB and I'm like, why are their win totals higher than what they won last year? And I couldn't decide. So I'll just kind of throw both at you. The Colorado Rockies are a bad pitching team, but their offense could still be kind of sneaky. Tovar re-signing the contract. Nolan Jones, absolutely a dude. Chris Bryant on any type of bounce back. That offense could do something, but the pitching staff is laughable. And they're in the toughest division in baseball. That's what's really difficult about it. Like, how are you going to pull all of those wins from the Diamondbacks, from the Giants, from the Padres, from the Dodgers? And their total is at 60.5. They won 59 last year. That was one. But the one I jumped in on was the obvious Oakland A's, who are just an overall disaster. Here's something the A's don't have. Any offensive talent that the Rockies have. There is really no Tovar over there. Esteban Ruiz and Zach Gelof are interesting, but there isn't massive offensive talent. There really isn't a ton of great pitching talent. Mason Miller, that's a guy that can close down games. But when I look at their win total, they won 50 games last year. They're at 57.5. This team is just a ragtag group. Maybe they can pull some wins together. I don't see how either one of the A's or the Rockies are going to overtake their win totals, and their win totals are higher this year. So I would take the under on both, really. But I did pinpoint the A's as the team who are 7.5 games higher than their win total last year. I will take that under all day.
I don't think they improve by 7 games this offseason, Welsh. I would agree with that statement. Mish, is there a team for you that stands out, either the over or under side, that you say, hey, look, I just feel very strongly about this team total being one way or the other?
Right. So a couple of things. First of all, for doing this for 20, 30 years, I could tell you my philosophy on this stuff. And it's not that I don't agree with what you guys are saying, but I always stay away from the bottom.
Sure.
And I always stay away from the top because I just feel like every team is going to win 50 games. So what is really required at this point to get to 58 or 59? It's one hot streak in June or July, or maybe even in September. So I stay away from the bottom, and I also stay away from the top because what could happen at the top? The team clinches, they're not really playing hard at the end of September, and then all of a sudden, a team that has a win total of 101 wins 99. You're like, oh my gosh, but they were so great all year. They just didn't care the last week. As a rule of thumb, I just stay away from those. Not to say that what you're saying can't happen, but that's just not what I subscribe to. I subscribe to the middle. I'm always looking at the middle, the teams in the 70s, the low 80s. And I want to look at those teams, see what they did last year, see what they did this year, attack the free agency for them, and ask myself the question, how many players on this team did they sign to multi-year deals? And how many players at the end of the season could potentially be moved? Because everyone wants to bet an under and more or an over, and more people are going to always bet the over than bet the under, where the value is always on the under in professional, college, all sports. It's more fun to bet an over, but you're going to win more money betting the under. And this year in particular, the one team that I looked at was the Los Angeles Angels. I mean, this is a team that won 73, 74 games, whatever it was last year. They had the highest guy in WAR in Major League Baseball, and he is not on the team. So what is the adjustment? 2 wins or the FanDuel Sportsbook? I don't think so. They did nothing in the offseason. Mm-hmm. They added one pitcher, I believe, Robert Stevenson, if I'm not mistaken.
And he's hurt.
He's hurt. Yeah. Yeah, he's hurt to start the year. The other part of this is that, you know, again, they're chasing around the 500 mark. Last year, they added players. Are they going to trade Mike Trout this year, guys? I think you legitimately have to ask yourself that question. I think it could potentially happen. I think that Trout may be playing his last days with the Angels. It was at least talked about in the offseason. They said they were not going to do it. I think it would be best for the organization to do so. They have Neto. They have Brandon Drury. They have okay players. But I think this is a 100-loss team this year, guys. I think this is one of the worst teams in baseball. They did nothing. Nothing. And again, extrapolating WAR positively or negatively to a team based on free agency and based on what happened the season ago, you take away Otani's WAR, you give Trout +1 or +2 more because he missed some. You got to do that because he missed a lot of the season.
Yeah, but he misses every year. I don't know if we have to do that.
Let's just do it for the sake of it. Let's just do it.
Well, you're a very kind
let's
man,
say,
Craig.
Let's say he plays
140. This is not the Craig Mish I remember.
So +2. Give him +2 in WAR. the Angels are going to lose a lot of games, guys.
I agree.
And I think it's time for them unfortunately for that family of owners, to take a hard look at that team and say it. And they don't have, and by the way, they trade guys away, guys? Who are they calling up?
That's the other problem. The Joe Adels haven't worked. 100%, yeah. Yes. And I think that was, you know, Welsh knows, this is all I said all summer long. If the Angels don't trade Ohtani, they're doing it wrong. They are going to miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime to cash in on a player. And what happened? They didn't. And then what happened? Disaster struck. I mean, it was just the worst case scenario for the Angels. And now they're going to live in that mistake for the next decade. And it's going to set them back for a decade. Let's take a look at our favorite season-long props or player futures. I've got one here. Matt Olson to lead the league in homers at plus 900. This is a phenomenal number for a guy who hit 50 home runs last year. To me, this makes a lot of sense. Welsh, you've got one with O'Neill Cruz. I want you to throw that out there to Mish as well. I want to get his take on Olson to lead the league in home runs at plus 900 and your Cruz in the home run total vein, I believe.
Yeah, I got another one we can throw out there, but it's not home runs. This is in the home run market. So mine's not as sexy as yours because you're getting big plus money because you're going for season leader. This is one I just feel staunch about, and it is O'Neill Cruz home run total over 24 and a half. I think 3-4 unit bet that one. I'm probably going to bet it again. Yes, he could be the next Mikel Franco and be the best spring training player and completely disappear into the season. Here's what I feel confident about. The only way this does not hit is if he gets hurt and he's not playing games. That's it. If he's playing the games, this is going to hit. The BatX projection, our friend Derek Carty, has it 25 homers in 130 games. Everyone is right around that marker. 7 homers in spring training. Just a good reminder of everybody of what the pure raw power is. I firmly believe he's hitting 30. There's another bet you can find on some books is the plus 30 home run marker. So over 24 and a half, O'Neill Cruz is like my favorite season long. Just store your money away and wait till the end of the season bet.
Yeah, I think this is very reminiscent, Welsh, to me, of this particular player. You can't do it with veterans in spring training because, it, generally speaking, it doesn't mean anything what they do.
Yeah.
But with younger players with some talent and some pedigree, boy, this reminds me a lot of when Trevor Story had that spring training several years ago. And everyone's like, Trevor Story, wow, this guy's great. And it's like, oh, he can't possibly.
Yeah.
He had 14 home runs in the spring. He can't possibly do this. And then the season started, and this guy just kept going all throughout the season. I agree with you, Welsh. I think O'Neill Cruz is going to fly over that number. I think that's the kind of spring where you can take that and say, hey, look, if this guy just keeps rolling, there's no stopping him. So I'm in agreement with you. It reminds me of that, where we looked at a young player at the time, didn't know a ton about him. I still don't think we know a ton about O'Neill Cruz. He missed almost all of last year. This could truly be the breakout. It seems like he's figured some things out.
Let's get to the awards here for American League MVP. Welsh and I are in lockstep. Now, Julio was my guy last year, just to remind everybody. And if Ohtani got traded, I'm telling you, I would have been right. But Julio, I'm back in. I'm doubling down here, Craig Mish. Plus 1,000. Welsh is on board. Yep. And we're also together, too, on the chalk that's Acuna plus 525. That's the consensus you'll find over at Betting Pros right now. Ohtani was the guy I was going for until this stuff started to pop with the whole gambling situation. I keep saying, and I've always said this, their media wars, their narrative awards. I feel like there's too many old school baseball writers who have a vote that any cloud of suspicion with the gambling thing, people are going to hold that against him, no matter he's innocent, guilty, or investigation still going on, innocent until proven guilty for whatever involvement he might have had. Do you think that I'm overreacting, Welsh, or do you think that's
I actually hate to agree with you on this. Not that I don't like to agree with you, but like, that kind of pushed me off. You remember, we were doing shows in January. I think Ohtani could have been the sneaky MVP. How can he do it when there's Freeman and Betts, all the best players on the same team? If Ohtani comes in and changes the dynamic of this team, his RBI numbers.
He does it by hitting 55 home runs.
Of course he does.
He's capable of doing, the other two aren't.
And stealing 20 plus bases and being a fully focused offensive player. I think he could take the Dodgers to the next step, which would have put him in unanimous MVP stuff. But I legit do think that there's going to be those people in the back of their mind that aren't going to want to push it because of the questions. It's a crap reason to not want to bet someone on it, but it makes me want to move off of it. I'm still paying attention to it, but yeah, I'm with the Acuna at like over 5-1. That just seems like that's not low enough of a number where I'm like, I'm not really getting a great bet. Kind of like the Cy Young Award winner in the NL. It's a good enough bet for Acuna to not have to screw around. But yeah, the Ohtani stuff, I'm sadly there with you, but it might be too big of a narrative and too fresh. Craig, I don't know if you think we're just being too conspiracy ridiculous.
Yeah, Mish is in those back rooms smoking cigars with those guys who make those kind of votes. You're that. You're in those rooms, Mish. What do you think? Are we overreacting to this Ohtani stuff?
No, I think it's fair, but I also think Ohtani had a hard time winning the MVP while he was pitching and hitting. They almost, you know, gave it to other players too, and you know, Aaron Judge. And I just don't think he's going to win the MVP. I think he's going to have a great year. I think he's going to hit a lot of home runs. Mm-hmm. He's going to be fantastic. But you take the pitching out of it, and by the way, how does anybody win the MVP when this guy pitches and hits? I'm sorry, he's the MVP for me every single year.
Right.
But now that he's not doing it this year, I think that there's some sort of lag on giving the MVP to the same guy over and over again, and they sort of find a way to give it to somebody else. Whether or not this will affect him, I'm not really sure. But I would not pick him to win the MVP.
We also have our AL Cy Youngs coming from the same team, but two different guys. Welsh, of course, is on that George Kirby train at plus 1,300. I'm on Castillo at plus 1,000. We're both on Spencer Strider. It's really Strider or bust, but you're still getting a really good number at plus 425.
Though, Wheeler, I think, yes, is interesting at 8-1. I just pointing that out. It's a big gap between 1-2 in the NL Cy Young betting market. You're getting just bigger odds. Just jumping over to Wheeler, I mean, I personally think, you know, Philly's going to win a bunch of games, big strikeout numbers. I don't hate that one, but Strider's like, there's no chance I don't not bet Strider. And then if I'm going to bet Wheeler, just a little bit less.
That's the hedge. Sure.
Yeah, it's hedging. Exactly.
Mish, what do you think about these names here? Strider, Castillo, Kirby, even Wheeler. Do you think these guys are the ones we should be targeting, or is there somebody else really sticks out to you?
Yeah, in the NL, Strider is like in that sort of elite tier from, you know, the Verlanders, Johan Santanas, Pedro Martinez is like, mm-hmm, going into the season. He is really like kind of by himself, I think, going into the year with his potential. With the AL, I like your guys' choices, and I do think, look, Seattle has a great pitching staff, but I'm shooting a little bit deeper. If it was me, I think Tarik Skubal would be the pick that I would make, really, to win the Cy Young. Yeah, I do think so. I remember before he got hurt, this looked like a 250 strikeout type guy. I think the reins are completely off this season. I think Detroit's going to be better than people think, too. I think they're going to have an okay season. And I think that Skubal will win the Cy Young. That would be my pick this year. That would be the shot that I would take.
The Tigers finally starting to see some fruits of all of those many, many early picks that they've had for a decade.
80 and a half on the win total for the Tigers. That's not an aggressive line. That's a pretty aggressive line for the Tigers.
We've also got the rookie of the year. Last year, we did nail this on the show, just in case you're keeping score at home. This year, again, it's hard not to be chalky here in the American League. Welsh and I both landed on Langford at plus 225, which is, again, still a pretty decent number at this point. So at least get something in that market now. For the National League Rookie of the Year, I went Shota Imanaga at plus 1,600. Tremendous opportunity there in terms of return on investment. I think the Cubs could win that Central. I love him and Steele at the top of this rotation. Welsh went Jackson Churio at plus 600 there. The everyday player, always a good wager. So I know it's tougher sometimes for pitchers to win these awards. They tend to go to the everyday players, but not always. So Welsh, I know you've made your selections. Mish, what do you think here about the rookies? Because this, I keep saying, has the potential to be one of these special rookie classes that we've seen since maybe the 86 rookie class, right? That it was just the Bo Jacksons and the Barry Bonds and all these guys just came up. We didn't talk about Caminero. We didn't talk about Evan Carter. We didn't talk about any of the other Orioles Jackson guys that might Holiday. Come through that system. Jackson Holiday, Jackson Merrill, anyone named Jackson, basically. So many choices, Mish. So what do you do? How do you approach this rookie of the year market?
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people who really like Imanaga. I think that's a good call. I think that, you know, him getting a lot of starts, apparently he's got this fastball that it looks like it's coming at you, and then all of a sudden it like goes over your head. Like I haven't seen anything like this guy in a while. And track record does tell you historically in Major League Baseball, the first season, and sometimes, guys, let's be honest, only the first season when these guys come over or from overseas, they're so good. Like the first year, and then it's like, oh, they get caught up, they get the video, and that's it. But I do like that pick, Joe, of Imanaga. I think that's a good one. I mean, in the AL, I mean, I'm definitely taking Jackson Holiday to win the Rookie of the Year. Like, okay. I know Wyatt Langford is the next great thing, but I mean, Jackson Holiday is going to be a better player than Langford.
I don't disagree with that.
The time.
But I don't.
Well, Welsh, this is the time, right? Because he gets sent down. Maybe that number, you know, starts to fluctuate a little bit. You might get a better number if you wait for a couple weeks.
Yeah, okay. But the Orioles, what they've already proven is they're going to be stubborn with this. Like, well, he's really going to learn to see some left-handed hitters, and he's going to learn to play second base. I don't think so either. But if you take a month off of his stat line, I would have bet Jackson Holiday full force had he made the roster. But if you take a full month of stats out and Langford just performs at 85% of perception, I think it's going to be really, really hard, especially if the Rangers are winning a bunch of games. I don't hate this one. I just think it's a race that's going to be difficult for Holiday to catch up.
It's always a race at the finish. You know, I mean, how bad was Gunnar Henderson last year for the first 3 months of that season?
Right. Yeah, but Josh Young then got hurt.
All he did was rake.
And there was no one
else. I understand
Josh,
but Josh Young got hurt and also didn't come back and play well. So you put all those two things together, but also it's usually the rookie of the year is the guy that lasts at the very end, that gets hot at the end, is in your memory. So if Imanaga is making important starts for the Cubs, I feel like that's something to pay attention to. And if Holiday is coming up here and is as advertised for the Orioles here in the second half or even before that, he could challenge. I think this is another one where the hedge is there, like your Wheeler hedge. I think the Langford Holiday hedge makes a lot of sense. All right, let's get to what you're here for, our picks for AL, NL, and World Series, and we'll get Craig Mish on his way to break more news because that's all he does. Of course, on X, follow him at Craig Mish. So I've got the Seattle Mariners winning the American League plus 900. I love the pitching staff. I love the depth. I think they're one bat away. I don't know if that bat is Eloy Jimenez or Pete Alonso or somebody like that. But to me, you drop one more bat in that lineup and all of a sudden Seattle becomes really good. And I think it's those teams with the depth of pitching. Welsh is going back to the Texas Rangers to go back and do it again. In the National League, I've got the Phillies at plus 800. Maybe for once, they don't get off to a wretched start. Just one time in the last 3 years. Please, can you just be decent for April and May? Plus 800, a really good number. You are back, Welsh, on the Atlanta Braves at plus 240. Ho-hum, Atlanta Braves. That's no fun. But again, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, they've been drawn to the World Series.
Sale is good. Yeah. Especially if Sale is going to pitch the way he has in spring. I've got Seattle winning it all at 20-1 and the Atlanta Braves on Welsh's side at plus 450. So Welsh, those are your takes there. Again, to me, it's about the Seattle pitching staff. And I'm kind of where you are. I think that 1-2 punch of Nolan Wheeler is enough. I think the Phillies know their window is now. They will make any move they need to. What do you think here about Atlanta and Texas? A little chalky, but still hard to argue with the talent there.
Yeah, and I think there's just a balance of like, okay, do I want to be cute and fun and get my, you know, put lots of futures in and go deep? Like, I'm not trying to say like your Mariner one. I love the Mariner one. I think that's great. But like, I think the Atlanta Braves have the best offense in baseball and they're willing to make some moves. The Texas Rangers, not only did they just get there, they added two great pieces into their offense. And what's something they love to do? Their favorite thing is acquiring pieces at the trade deadline. So that's another team that's going to be willing to make those moves, and they're going to get DeGrom and they're going to get Scherzer. Scherzer's going to be back before DeGrom. You're getting both those guys on the back half of the year. Yeah, I think
what could go wrong?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a million things that could easily go wrong.
This was a great show until we said they're going to get DeGrom back. They're going to get Scherzer back.
Well, they're going to get Scherzer back. I said this the other day. I was at Rangers camp.
Well, they will get Scherzer.
DeGrom was throwing to a guy in the middle of the field, like 20 feet, and Scherzer was just launched on the whole field. DeGrom was not comfortable still throwing. So maybe they don't get DeGrom back, but they're going to get Scherzer back. And guess what?
Yeah,
they'll go and talk in the trade market. I'm going to go with the Texas Rangers. And I feel
okay
about
to win it all.
The Braves.
Mish, what do you think about these picks here, the teams that we've put in the mix, the Rangers, the Braves, Philly, and Seattle? It's the Seattle one I keep harping on because, again, if I think we both think that the Cy Young's coming from there. We both said Julio. If this is a team that, you know, approaches, you know, 95, 98 wins, has control of where they are, you know, it's going to be an exciting place. You know, the fan base is going to be excited. It feels like, again, they're just one bat away. Don't you feel like, look at this lineup, you plug one big hitter in there and all of a sudden they just roll?
Yeah, I like all of your selections. I mean, I can't poke holes in any of them. I really do think Seattle is a surprise team. They asked me that this morning on Sports Grid. I said that was one of the surprise teams I had getting to the postseason this year. I wouldn't pick them to win the World Series, but I think they're equipped to do it. I just don't think you can look at any team as it's constructed from a pitching perspective right now and just make that assumption that those are going to be the guys at the end of the year. So I just can't do that. I can't go there. But to start the season, I think it's reasonable. Texas, to me, I probably wouldn't take them to win the World Series only because I am a little disappointed. I know Langford is there, but how do you win the World Series and really not like get more guys? Like, I guess I'm just was surprised that Texas was just so quiet, which I don't know if that's a signal to think, oh, maybe we got a little lucky last year or they're just good enough to win again. So, the Braves, again, will be my pick to win the National League. I do think that anybody that has to go through that park in Philadelphia and try and win, my gosh, I was there last year for the playoffs.
Crazy place.
I mean, it is a formidable place. So Phillies would be close for me, but I will take the Braves yet again because I think they've learned their lesson the last couple of years, being sort of quiet at the end of the year, not doing much. I think it cost them. I think you see Alex Anthopoulos flip the script this year. I think the Braves get very aggressive and get even more players and assets, pitching and everything else. And in the American League, I'm going to take the Orioles. I'm going to take the Orioles. I think Burns you know, counting on one guy is a little dangerous, but historically speaking, he's pretty consistent with making his 25, 30 starts. Grayson Rodriguez, I think, could take the next step. And a team that their window, you talk about a window being now. Is there any other team in baseball where their team is not just now? It's like really now. Like, yeah, this is it for the Orioles. So I got Orioles Braves in the World Series.
There you go. Philly, definitely a tough place to play. Tough in any sport at any time. I spent a lot of my youth there, went to college there, lived there for a couple of years after. I'm going to WrestleMania there in just a couple of weeks, two nights in a row. Let me tell you, no better wrestling crowd than Philadelphia.
I bet.
And no better guest than Craig Mish, everybody. Follow him on X at Craig Mish. Check him out on Sports Grid TV every single day. Talking everything wagering related. Welsh, I'll see you opening day, my friend, tomorrow. Fantasy Bros MLB, don't forget to subscribe to the channel and join us live for Leading Off, 12:30 Eastern, Monday through Friday, every single day throughout the entire season. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Craig Mish and the Welsh, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Betting Pros Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X and TikTok at Betting Pros and Instagram at Betting Pros NFL. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/bettingpros.